We're going to spend a bit of time this morning looking at PSDN conferencing for Skype for Business. And we're going to look at how you configure it, how it works on server, and mostly how it works on Skype for Business Online, because that's the new thing, so understanding how that hangs together. I'm really happy to take questions throughout. There's some quite bright spots, so feel free to shout. There are some mics. If you shout, I'll try and repeat, and we'll also have a slot at the end for some questions. So if you want to wait till the end, that's great too. Got my coffee and my water, so stay hydrated. Before we start, quick marketing slide. Microsoft have got the new Skype Room systems down on their booth. And if you take a picture using the booth and tweet with the hashtag, you've got a chance to win one of the systems. So worth checking out the Skype area if you haven't done already. So a little bit about who I am and why I'm talking to you. So I'm a Principal Solutions Architect at Modality Systems, Tom Arbuthnot. So my world is pretty much unified communications and Skype. Used to do some Cisco stuff way, way, way back in the day. Last 6 years has been all dedicated around Microsoft and the ecosystem. Certified master and MVP, so done all my exams and tends to do a lot of user group and community bits and pieces as well. Modality Systems, just a quick one-liner, we're a global SI around unified communications, particularly around Microsoft Office 365, so lots of experience with deployments all over the world. And blog and Twitter if you guys want to check that out. So what are we going to cover today? Well, first off, we're going to level set with just what PSDN conferencing is, make sure we all understand what we're talking about when we mean PSDN conferencing. Some people do get confused around audio versus PSDN. We're going to talk about what that means on server and what that means on Skype for Business Online. We're then going to dive a bit more detailed into the Microsoft PSDN conferencing service. So that's the service that connects to Office 365 to give you PSDN conferencing. And we'll look at the commercial model, how the coverage works in terms of dial-in numbers and countries, and also a new feature that's just dropped recently, which is dynamic meeting conference IDs. Then we're going to jump into some live demo stuff. So the AV guys were just helping me with setting up the Wi-Fi. Fingers crossed for Wi-Fi, we are going live demo. We'll see what happens, demo gods. We're going to look at PowerShell, how you set up conferencing for that, and then we're going to jump into the portal and see how all the settings are set up. So what is PSDN conferencing? Well, I've done a few screenshots here, but essentially it's the ability to use a regular phone and dial into a meeting. But not just dial into a meeting, also users in that meeting having the ability to dial out to phone users or to have Skype call you back on your PSDN number and bring you into the meeting. So on the slide here, you've got the first screenshot there is a Skype meeting without PSDN conferencing. So by default, out of the box, on server if you don't set it up, or on Skype Business Online if you don't add PSDN conferencing, what you'll get in your invite is a meeting join link. You click that, Skype client pops up, and you're joining audio via VoIP. So over your PC, that works great, it doesn't cost any money, like that's the default method to join a meeting. But there are scenarios where people need a dial-in number, and so if you want that service, the next screenshot is where you see some dial-in numbers on the meeting invite, and you see a link to find more numbers. And that allows anybody who wants to dial in on a phone to find the number and get into the meeting. Last two screenshots are showing in a meeting. So let's say, for example, I'm at Modality, I pull a couple of my colleagues into a meeting, we use VoIP by default, but then I want to pull in a sales guy who's on the road. Easiest way to pull him in is just to add his mobile number to the meeting. So I add a participant, and instead of typing a SIP URI, I type in a regular phone number, click connect, and the conferencing MCU, the server, or Skype for Business Online, is going to dial that number and bring that person into the meeting. And then the last one is telling the Skype for Business client that for whatever reason, I don't want to join on VoIP, I want you to ring my phone and bring me into the meeting. And you can set that as a default preference. So let's say you've got a desk phone, you haven't got a headset, whatever reason, you want Skype to dial you into meetings, you can make it do that. Just a note on the bullets there, you don't need Enterprise Voice or Cloud PBX to have PSTN calling. So often in the Skype world, people will maybe start on IAM and Presence, then go to conferencing, then go to Enterprise Voice. You don't need to go to Enterprise Voice or Cloud PBX to add that dial-in feature. So if you're using Skype today and you're using it for maybe internal meetings on VoIP, this session will show you how you can potentially add PSTN conferencing and make more use of it because it will be more applicable to more meeting scenarios. So why is PSTN conferencing important? We're here at a Microsoft event, it's all technology. Obviously, VoIP and voice over IP and conferencing over IP is the future. Why do we even need to worry about PSTN conferencing? Well, there's a few good reasons, and mainly it comes about making sure you can meet all your meeting scenarios. So if you've got a PSTN phone number for conferences, anybody can join. I took a nice picture there of a classic collaboration device that I'm sure maybe some of you are still using, maybe not, hopefully not. But genuinely, that old school phone can join a Skype meeting if we have PSTN conferencing enabled. So you're allowing anybody to join no matter what technology they have. If you're looking to move to Skype from a different system, odds are that's going to have PSTN conferencing on it. So you want to have the same ability as your previous system when you're pushing out to users. It's no good users having maybe an external service that has dial-in numbers and then you give them Skype without dial-in numbers because they're always going to say, well, but some of my users maybe perhaps want to join on phone or there's the odd time where I want to pull somebody in. So until you give me dial-in numbers, I'm just going to keep using my old service. Two common scenarios, even for those that are kind of Skype and VoIP first. Join mobile with no data. So I'm traveling, I'm based in London, but I'm traveling at the moment. Data rates can be expensive. Maybe I just want to join on a phone call to my meeting. I don't want to spend all that data on the mobile. I just want to dial in and do it per minute. And also, just a backup scenario. Flaky Wi-Fi, flaky network, want to guarantee the experience, dialing in still a good option. And you can dial in and still see desktop sharing, so you could use, if the network connection isn't good enough for real-time audio, but maybe you can get away with desktop sharing, maybe you join on the phone for audio and you do desktop sharing still on Skype. So how do I get it? Well, there's two scenarios, basically. There's server and then there's online. So first, we're going to take a high-level look at server and then a high-level look at online. So I'm guessing a few people in the room are familiar with server. We're not going to go into the depths of server in this session, but this is just a rundown of sort of the high-level tasks you need to do. So you have to get your servers set up, obviously. Those might be in your own data center. Those might be hosted by a provider. But either way, someone needs to set those servers up, get them up and running. You need to think about your availability requirements. You need to think about your server specs. You need to think about your server licensing. So all the baseline stuff to get your servers up and running. Then you need some way to connect those PSTN phone numbers into your server environment. So sometimes you can terminate PSTN connections, carrier connections, direct to Skype for Business servers. But more often than not, if you're scaling, and typically with PSTN conferencing you're scaling, you probably put a session border controller in place. And that is a physical or virtual device that sits between your servers and your carrier, your phone number provider, provides a security layer, provides some routing abilities. So you put one or two of those in for your resilience. Next, you need to bring a carrier. So you go out to the market, you look at your local carrier, whichever it is, and you say, look, we want to do some conferencing, maybe we want to do some enterprise voice as well, but we want telephone numbers. And your carrier will be able to give you either an old school ISDN connection, or much more likely these days, a SIP connection, a connection over IP. That will go between that provider and the gateway or session border controller, and that's how your phone calls get from your provider to your server. When you're looking at the carriers, it's important to understand what numbers they'll be able to provide you. Carriers can't necessarily provide numbers for everywhere in the world for your service. Some are more flexible than others, some are bigger than others, some of them have different interpretations of regulations, and also the country you're in will affect your regulations as well. And the main crux of the regulation thing is your carrier allowed to give you a number for a location where you don't have a billing address, an office, a server, a person? The interpretations vary a little bit. But generally speaking, with the SIP providers, you can find them, and they'll get you up to kind of 35 common countries, 40. It kind of tops out 40 to 50 countries where they'll be able to give you, into your service, dial-in numbers for those countries. Sometimes they won't charge you any extra for those lines. Sometimes, because of their costs of bringing numbers in from all over the world, they will charge you an additional rate for people calling in on those numbers. So the people calling in will usually pay a charge, and your carrier may leverage a charge against you for the privilege of bringing in a number that's not in your country or in your region. Some of them as well, and this seems to be more common in Europe than the US, or maybe you can tell me different, but some of them will charge you a different rental fee for a conferencing line rather than a regular PSTN user line as well. They're sort of doing the same thing, but the logic apparently is that a conferencing line is more heavily utilized, so therefore there's more dedicated infrastructure, more bandwidth, etc. Once you've got all that in place, you set up your users and away you go. So a decent amount of work there, and you may already be somewhere down that path. You might have your server set up and just need your gateway and carrier. You might have your gateway and carrier and enterprise voice, and you just need to go to your carrier and get some more numbers. But if you look at that process end to end, you know, decent amount of work, particularly getting circuits in from a carrier to your service to get this set up. So you're doing well top to bottom to be measuring that in weeks, not months. And for carrier circuits, usually it's months. So conversely, let's look at Skype for Business Online, new world, two bullet points, or two major bullet points, a few little additions on the options there. Basically, you buy it and you set up your users. You're not dealing with carriers, you're not dealing with gateways, you're obviously not dealing with servers because it's all the Microsoft service. So top to bottom, a bit easier to get deployed. Digging in a little bit specifically for Skype for Business Online, you have two major options for PSTN conferencing numbers. The first one is you can go to Microsoft, and part of your Office 365 service, you can buy your numbers from them. The second one is an option called Audio Conferencing Service Providers, ACPs. Those are third parties who have certified with Microsoft to bring their conferencing service into Office 365. So depending on which way you want to go, kind of commercially and who your carrier is, you do have two options there. We're mainly going to look at the Microsoft option today, but there is a list of audio conferencing providers we'll go through if you did want to look at the ACP option. The setup, the users, we'll show that in the demo, but either PowerShell, Microsoft obviously, or the portal. PowerShell, you know, I'm a big PowerShell fan. PowerShell's really where the power of this is, because end to end, we can have users set up very, very quickly. So let's dig into Microsoft PSTN conferencing. Slightly tricky marketing name because it's just PSTN conferencing. But when we're saying Microsoft PSTN conferencing, we're talking about the service you can buy from Microsoft. So it is direct from Microsoft. Microsoft are your service provider. They're not, you know, reselling a partner. Your agreement is with them. It's billed as part of your service. So if you go Office 365 E5, it's included in that bundle of services for that top tier Office 365 offering. If you're looking at multiple Office 365 services, then that can start to make a lot of sense commercially because you get a lot of value with going with the bundle. But you can also buy it as an add-on service to an existing Skype license or an E3 license. So you don't have to go up to E5, you can buy it as an add-on license as well. There's a few things to understand about where you can buy it and what you get. So due to carrier regulations, Microsoft can only sell this service in certain countries. At the moment, it's available to be purchased in 64 countries. We'll show a list in a second. And that country is defined by your Office 365 billing address. So interestingly, not your tenant physical location, but your actual billing address. So if you're looking into this, one of the early things you need to do is understand where your Office 365 service is billed from, because that will influence whether you can purchase this or not. That number's going up all the time as the regulations get ticked off with the legal teams. So if you're not on that list, don't necessarily consider it a permanent blocker, but just be aware. The next concept we have is dial-in numbers. So these are the numbers that turn up on the invite, on the Find More numbers. These are the numbers available to users to dial into the conference. And at the moment, Microsoft have coverage for 90 countries and around 400 cities. The cities number is important because sometimes you want to have not just a UK number, but a regional number for the person to dial in, particularly more in the States, where calling cross-state can sometimes cost more money than in-state or in-city, or you just want to hit major cities for the visibility of your service. That's where your users are. Then the last element is where you can dial out to, and that's actually 190 countries, give or take, on the Microsoft service. So Microsoft give you numbers to dial in for 90, but if you are in a conference and you want to drag somebody in on a phone number, it's that 190 country figure. And we'll dig into the commercials in a second, but 45, give or take, of those countries, domestic dial out from the conferencing service is no additional charge per minute. So Microsoft won't charge you for the privilege of them dialing you. The rest of those countries are on a model called pay as you go, where you will incur a permanent charge on your service for having Microsoft dial to you. So no per minute costs on the way in if you pick up the phone and dial, but if you're outside of those one of those pay as you go countries and you want to dial somebody into the conference, there will be a permanent charge levied. So here's a look at the purchase countries. Pretty good coverage. Don't have to scribble all this stuff down. Obviously, there'll be slides available at the end. There's a link on this deck, and that's the link to the TechNet article or Office 365 article for which countries are covered. That's accurate as of today, but as I said, the service is growing all the time, so it's worth checking back, and that changes from time to time and increases. So 64 countries you can buy the service in by your billing address. 90 countries, 400 cities. These are the places where you can get dial-in numbers. So these are the places where you're likely to deploy this service for your users. Interestingly, the audio conferencing providers, the ACP providers, have different coverage to Microsoft. So there may be a use case where you want Microsoft for some of your users and audio conferencing provider, third-party audio conferencing provider that's certified for other users. And they maybe have different country coverage which you need for certain users. You can mix and match those two models in a single tenant. So maybe you've got APAC users that aren't yet well covered for the Microsoft service. You can bring in audio conferencing provider, third party for them, but you can still go with Microsoft for some of your other users. And countries you can dial out to. I had a go at sticking this on the slide. I gave up, I wimped out. Couldn't quite get it all on. There's a URL there you can click, and you can see the billing rates in the country list. But obviously, at 190, we're talking pretty good coverage at that point. I think you're doing well to find places you can't dial out to at the moment. So how does the commercial model work? Well, first, I just want to take you through what the kind of traditional model looks like. So the traditional audio conferencing model, typically, you buy the service for a subset of your users. You don't necessarily buy it for all of them. Or you pay for a service. Hi.
Can you back up one slide or two slides? What about the toll-free?
Yeah. I will literally show you that in the demo. Good plant. Thank you. Yeah, you can get toll-free numbers, and those are an additional cost. We'll go through that. Typically you buy it for some of your users, not all of your users, or they will sell you a service, but they'll have limited concurrency. So they'll say, you know, we only expect you to use it 20% of your user base. Obviously, there's limited integration to things like Office and Office 365 and your other applications. You're buying an audio conferencing service, maybe. Maybe you're buying a service that also has things like desktop sharing and whiteboards. So there might be some overlap with Skype there. Or more than likely, in bigger orgs, you've got pockets of different providers. You know, one country decided to go one way, another country decided to go another, some other team did it on their credit card. So you often have variable providers in the mix, different number sets, variable costs, different plans. All the management of those providers tends to be additional overhead. You know, you have to work with them to get users enabled. Sometimes there are automated systems for that that can tie into AD or web portals or whatever, but there's some additional work to do there. Over in our Office 365, Skype for Business world, a little bit different. Generally, you know, we like to see PSTN conferencing for all. So there is a per user charge for this. You may choose to just provide it to your power users. That is an option. I like to push the idea of having it for everybody if you can, because it's just an on-demand service. And if you can give it to everybody, you don't have to work out who needs it and who doesn't, and you'll find your utilization will go up. Integrated user experience, it is Skype for Business. It is part of Office 365. So, you know, you start on instant messaging, you realize you need to talk, you bump up to VoIP audio, you start desktop sharing, then you realize you need someone to bring in on the phone, you just pull them in. You're not going from IM to, oh, actually, we should do an audio conference, let's go jump to the other service for the audio conference. Oh, we need to do some desktop sharing, let's jump back to desktop sharing in another app, maybe. The idea is this is just part of the unified communications platform. The Microsoft model offers a bit more of a predictable cost model, and we'll go through the commercials on that in a second. And the configuration is a big deal. I'll show you when we do the PowerShell, you can set this up with one line of PowerShell. So way, way easier to streamline the configuration than a traditional service. In terms of cost model, this is how the traditional world works. You usually pay for the service per user, and then you pay for a per minute rate for use of the service. So this is sometimes hard to get your head around, but when on a traditional system, you set up a conference and people dial in, let's say Bob dials in from his house. He dials in, dials a number, and pays his local carrier for that phone call. But also, the organization is getting charged a per minute cost for providing that service. So it's billed in both directions, typically. That's how you're paying for the service as an organization, and the person in their house is paying their local phone bill. The per minute costs tend to vary number to number, state to state, country to country, and those typically are just reflections of how much regional carrier costs there are in the model. There are, you know, different models where maybe you just pay per minute or maybe you don't, but that's typically how it lines up. The Microsoft model, the default model, is a little bit different. So the idea is you pay a flat rate per user per month, which lists at $4, and that gives you the service for those users, and it gives you no additional per minute charges for anybody calling into the service. There's a couple of exceptions to that, free phone for the gentleman there being one, and some outbound dialing scenarios. But essentially, for users setting up conferences and having people dial in, once you've paid that flat rate cost, you're not getting a permanent cost levied on all those inbound conference numbers. So giving you a bit more of a, from a kind of financial point of view, a bit more of a predictable flat rate system in terms of commercials. Also, it's a global agreement. It ties into your Office 365. So however you set it up, you're negotiating a global service potentially for all your users. You're not necessarily going to different providers for different geos. And I won't go through the math. These are some Microsoft numbers, but they did some maths around if you factor in the cost of a typical third-party service and if you start stacking up the per-minute costs. And most people miss those per-minute costs because they don't think about those. They just get billed and get spent. You can make some big savings potentially with Microsoft conferencing. No, the $4 is the uplift if you don't go E5. That's, yeah, spot on. E3 or one of the Skype plans, if you just want to add PSTN conferencing, that's the $4 list. If you've got E5, it's already included. Thanks for the question. So there are some scenarios where that cost model is a little bit different, and they're important to understand. One of them is dialing out. So we talked about the scenario where you're in a conference and you're dialing out to a user to bring them into the conference, or the scenario where, for whatever reason, you want the conferencing system to dial you. Of those 190 countries, give or take, we can dial out to, there's around 45 on this list that are inclusive of the plan. So if you're having a conference and you, as an Office 365 user, dial out to the same country as you are in, there is no additional per-minute cost for these countries. And depending on how your conferencing usage works out, that can make a small or a massive difference to your costs. If you have conferences where people do typically start the conference up and then dial customers and bring them in, and they're all in country and your user is in country, you can save a lot of money there potentially. How that works is based on the conference organizer's Office 365 location. So if I'm a French user and I set up a conference, anybody I dial out to in France, that won't be a per minute charge levied on me from Microsoft. However, if I dial out to a different country, there will be a per minute charge. This is not something I would say you necessarily want to talk to your end users about. It's probably too confusing for them to understand and they just want to use a service. But when you're looking at the commercials and the billing and how this could work for your organization, if you can get your call detail records, your bills from a traditional provider, you can start to map to see where you might save some money with this model. Anywhere not on that list, dialing out will be a permanent charge, and there's a link at the bottom which leads you on to the permanent charge costs for that service. Does that make sense? Any questions around the commercials? I know it's a little bit tricky to get your head around. Yeah, so this is the crux of it. You, your tenant is in the US, you're in Italy, your Office 365 user, if that's set to Italy and you create the conference, that domestic for you is Italy. So domestic for your US users who set up their conferences and have their Office 365 profile set to US, that'll be domestic for them. Cool, thanks for the question. Yep. Yeah, so in the email invite, you can have two numbers listed, a default dial number and a default free phone number. Then they have to click the link to go through. In server, you can list more than one number. You've teed me up perfectly there, because Modality Systems, who I work for, we have an Outlook plugin that lets us put different numbers in the invite. So I'll show you at the end. But yeah, by default in the service, it's two numbers, one charge, one free phone, and then join us, click the link. There is a third-party plugin from us that will let you change that in Skype Business Online. Yeah, totally. People don't tend to click that link, do they? They take the shortest path, and there's the number. I'm just going to dial it. So, yeah, we've seen that too. Good question. Thank you. Hi, sorry. Yeah, so this is about commercials, not about physical routing. So Microsoft have this big global network. I'm sure they're breaking out locally where it makes sense. This is not about where the voice routes, it's just the commercials. And I'm not privy to the details of the commercials, but I'm guessing it lines up that these countries are cheap enough from a telecoms provider for Microsoft to take the hit. The countries that are off this list are a significant cost more, so they won't take the hit, basically. Does that make sense? So it's not about where the voice routes, just about the cost to Microsoft, basically. Yeah, so this billing per minute has no bearing to where the voice routes. It's just how the commercials line up. But if you want to grab me afterwards, we can go through it in a bit more detail. Is there another question somewhere? So maybe they've got different country coverage to Microsoft. Maybe they give you a different billing mechanism. You don't want to bill globally. You want to bill regionally. You want to bill in different currencies. They have some flexibility there. Keep going. So toll-free numbers for the gentleman there. So toll-free numbers are another scenario where you're going to pay a permanent cost. So in this scenario, you love your customers. You don't want to have to inflict a cost on them for ringing into your conference. So you want to offer them a free phone number. It used to be 0800 in the UK, 800 in the US, but those number ranges have got quite full. So you see other things, 0808, that kind of thing. You want to not incur a cost to them for ringing into your conference. So you can get a free phone number from Microsoft. When your customer dials into the conference on that number, you're paying the bill for that call. Hence, you pay per minute to Microsoft for that service. How that works is a process called consumption billing, and Microsoft will charge you based on that usage. So consumption billing is catching every scenario we talked about previously where there's a charge. This is how Microsoft take that charge. The scenarios are toll-free and international dial-out, so those are the per-minute charges, international calling for users that have PSTN calling plans. This session is not really on PSTN calling, but if you have Cloud PBX and you give your users real phone numbers, like Enterprise Voice, but on cloud, those users, if they have a domestic dial plan and they want to dial international, you can pay per minute for that. And if you go above your plans on PSTN calling, you can also pay per minute. The way this works is you give Microsoft a credit card or some kind of cover for a certain amount of money, and they bill the cost against that pot of money, and then either manually or automatically, someone has to top that pot of money up to keep covering the costs. So here's a consumption scenario. For my customer, I've got a bunch of users. I think we had 800 in this scenario. I sign into the Office 365 portal, and I put $50 into my consumption billing pot. So that money is now with Microsoft ready to be used for that cost. As people use the service, some customers dial in on 800 numbers, some people dial out to pay-as-you-go countries, the cost gets ticked off that $50. And I have an option in the portal, and we'll show you this, to set a threshold at which it auto-tops up, maybe off of a credit card, or I can just have the service email me and say, finance guys, you need to top this up. Based on experience, if you can, set up the auto-top-up scenario, because you don't want someone to miss that alert. If the pot goes down to zero, then you don't get to use those permanent services. Last piece before we get into the demo of setting this up, private meetings. This is quite a big one for Skype Business Online. So for server, for ages, we've been able to have dynamic conference IDs. That's the correct technical term for it. Often people talk about it as private meetings. So I don't have the same conference ID and same URL for every single meeting. By default on server, you do. You have the same conference ID, the same URL. What can happen in that scenario is you set up two meetings back to back. The people joining the second meeting join a little bit early, and they jump into the meeting before. because the URL is the same, the conferencing virtual room, if you like, is the same. What often people want set up is dynamic conference ID, so that if I have back-to-back meetings, those don't clash. I don't have customers from the first meeting going into the second. On Skype for Business Online with Microsoft PSTN conferencing, you can now enable that. So in fact, it's enabled by default now. It's rolling out to the tenants at the moment. So every time you set up a meeting on Skype for Business Online, the URL will be different. And every time you set up a conference ID, a PSTN conference ID, it will be different. Hi. Yeah, it's going to be enabled by default, and it's rolling out at the moment. It's not on all of the tenants yet. You can get it turned off at the tenant level if you particularly like static IDs, but it'll be on by default moving forward. Thanks for the question. Yes, you can. Yeah, I'll show you that in the demo, actually. So that was traditionally a challenge for Skype for Business Online. That challenge has now been solved. Sometimes, particularly security teams, are worried about overlapping meetings, so now you can get those dynamic conference IDs. Right, demo time. Let's see how the Wi-Fi is going to treat me. If anyone's got anything to sacrifice to the demo gods, now is the time. Not a user. It's done at the tenant level, so you have to go to the support, Premier Support or support team, and they'll turn it on or off. It will be turned on by default, and all the IDs will be unique. It's a tenant-level decision to turn it off and go back to static, so you can't have some users with it on, some users with it off. You can on server, but not on online. Hi. Yeah, that's a good question. So. On server it is, on online, I think it will still be the same ID. Let me take that away and double check. So the question was, will reoccurring meetings have the same persistent conference ID? Okay, so we seem to have good Wi-Fi. We are here in the Office 365 admin center. So any of you that have got Office 365, this should be a familiar site. This is the new fancy super duper admin center. Where we're going to start is under billing and subscriptions. So let's see what plans we've got on this tenant. So this is my test tenant, and I've got Office 365 E5 trial. So I've got 25 seats of E5. E5 gives me PSTN conferencing included in the plan, so I've got up to 25 seats there, 13 enabled. If you have E3 or individual Skype plans, you would see them there. If you don't have E5, so if you did have E3, for example, what you'll see on this screen is an ability to add additional services, and that's where you can add the PSTN conferencing service. Because I've got it included, I haven't got that button. So what I want to show first in the Office 365 portal is how we would add consumption billing. And that's an additional service. So if I go to purchase services, so loads and loads of services here. I'll jump down to the bottom, and you see under the add-on subscriptions, there's the Skype for Business PSTN consumption. And that's the same consumption bucket for conferencing and for PSTN calling. So once you've set that up, you set that up. I can't run through the wizard again, but what happens, it's three screens. You click it, it shows you what the service is, how it works. You then get asked for a billing address and a credit card number, and you get asked how much you want to top up and if you want to do continuous top-ups off of that credit card. So three steps, and you're set up for consumption billing. If we jump back to subscriptions, you can see I've got consumption billing turned on. It's one of my subscriptions there. At the moment, I've got a massive $20 for my demo tenant, so that should send me a long way. And I've got auto recharge turned off, because it turns out I don't want to be charged for conferencing on my personal credit card. But you would normally have auto topping up turned on there, and you wouldn't have to worry about that. There's a usage report here, which will show our usage. I'll show that at the end of the demo, but that's how we'd understand where our money's going in terms of the consumption billing. So that's subscriptions, and I have an E5 subscription. If I flip over to PowerShell now, what we're going to show is not just enabling PSTN conferencing, but actually enabling a user for Office 365 E5 with PSTN conferencing. So I'll start this up while we're talking, see how long it takes. So that's it done. It's actually one line of PowerShell. What you can see here is I've got Office 365 creds, where we got the pop-up and it was asking for my credentials. Based off of my credentials, it knows where my tenant is because it's the trbuffnot on Microsoft.com. I'm then importing a comma-separated value file, and I've just got a couple of users in that file. And it's taken those names, run a small loop saying for each user in that user variable, set them up, new MSO user, MSOL user. I won't go through all the fields, but first name, last name, display name, their email address, critically their license assignment, they're getting Enterprise Premium, which is E5. And so I didn't flash the password up on the screen, I've just done a little select object to pull out all the fields. Normally, in that screen, you would have their dynamically generated password as well. So that would show you the password for them to log on. And the beauty, sure. Sorry? So the CSV file is my input, so that's my usernames. So in this case, I've got two new users. So let's say HR have given me these users. I've just added them to the CSV, and that's given me an input to create the users. Yes, they would be the users of Office 365 full stop, but also the hosts of their own conferences in this scenario. Yeah, so the CSV is an example of an input. If you had 12,000 users, you might pull the list from AD with PowerShell. You might have an Oracle or a third-party HR system. This is PowerShell really worth looking into. This is a really powerful kind of automation system where you can just enable that stuff automatically. Thanks for the question. So what you're more likely to do is tie into your HR system or your Active Directory. And whenever anybody gets created, maybe you have a script on a schedule that overnight checks for new users, picks them up, and assigns them an Office 365 account. And you can get clever with that. You can, you know, you can have a SQL database that says where they are in the country and set them the right profile, which license they get, all those details. But the important part is there's no particular additional setup there for PSTN conferencing. Because they've got Office 365 E5, they're automatically going to give PSTN conferencing, and we'll see that in a second. So hopefully with that talking, there's enough time to get our users up. So we've got Robert Smith and Sarah Jones we've just created. So let's go to users, active users. And there we go. So these are the ones we've just created on the demo now, Robert Smith and Sarah Jones. If I click into Robert, I can see Robert's been given a Office 365 E5 license. What I'm going to do is give Robert consumption billing as well. So I'm clicking on Edit Licensing. And you see I have a few toggles here. He's already got E5. I'm not going to give him PSTN calling at this time, but I am going to give him PSTN consumption. So now Robert is authorized to burn down those consumption minutes if he uses the service that needs them. And let's do the same thing for Sarah while we're here. Notice the location here. The location set in Office 365, going back to the question earlier, would define where my domestic is. Consumption. So now we've got one line of PowerShell set up the users. We've chosen to add consumption billing to those users. We're going to jump out of the Office 365 portal and into the Skype for Business admin center. And this is how Skype for Business works for most of the services. You do the general stuff in the 365 portal, and when you're into the specific workload, you jump into those admin centers. So I have a number of options here on my Skype for Business Online admin center. I'm going to jump to dial-in conferencing, and we'll come back to Microsoft Bridge. I just want to show you the users to start. So on Skype for Business Online, this is my dial-in users, and we should see here, yep, Robert Smith and Sarah Jones. So they are good to go for Skype Business Online, and they're good to go for PSTN conferencing. There was no particular setup for those users. They're just ready to go. If I do want to edit them, I have a few options here. I can reset their conference ID. I can reset their PIN. And I can change their default numbers. So when the gentleman was asking about dial-in numbers on the invite, here's where I have this option. I have an option to set a default toll number, and I have an option to set a default toll-free number. Those two numbers will show up in the email invite. All the other numbers will show up in the Find Me a Meeting Number link. And I can change those so that my UK users have a default UK number, my US users have a default US number. And we've got a lot of numbers to choose from, so down to the city, down to the state where it makes sense for your users. Sorry? Yeah, so if you're set to static, that would be the static conference ID. If you're set to dynamic, that static is still set, but effectively every conference is dynamic anyway. So that setting that conference ID would only really apply in the static mode. Great question, thank you. It does. Actually, yeah, my production system does. I'm not sure if this tenant does, but I imagine it does. It looks the same. Yes, yeah, it's confusing that it's not the URL, it's the PSDN. Yeah, you have an alphanumeric in the URL, which most people don't see, but if you hover on join, you can see it in the URL. But this is the DTMF code when I'm dialing in on the phone and typing 1234. Yeah, you can. You can set that, and you can have it tee off of the user's location as well. So you might, if you're provisioning users on MASH, you'd have a bit more of an advanced script choosing their location and setting their numbers potentially. So there's our users. Just for completeness, I've got a couple of users here that aren't set up. If I go to edit here, here's where I can choose my provider. So we talked about the audio conferencing providers, the ACPs. This is where I could choose, actually, do I want a Microsoft dial-in number, or do I want one from one of the certified audio conferencing providers? We'll go with Microsoft. And so here's a list of all my available numbers. We'll choose that one by default, and we'll choose a free phone number. I have an option here to allow unauthenticated PSDN callers to bypass the lobby or not. Typically, leave that off, but if you want people to bypass the lobby, you can. Set that up. Should be a couple of seconds, and that user will be assigned those numbers and enabled for that service. So here it's showing me the default conference ID. To your question, it's the DTMF dial-in conference ID and their PIN number. PIN number is should they want to dial in from a phone and authenticate themselves so they can admit users to meetings or do special DTMF commands, they have that ability. Mostly you don't need that PIN number. So that's individual user setup. The gentleman's question here was about the free phone numbers and how we set those up. We have a few tabs here. Microsoft Bridge is our main tab, which shows us our dial-in numbers. And you'll notice here I've got a couple of different types of dial-in number. I've got toll-free numbers, I've got toll-dedicated numbers, and I've got shared numbers. When you set up by default, you have one dedicated number for your tenant, and then you have a whole bunch of shared numbers. The shared numbers, like it sounds, are shared between multiple Office 365 tenants. So when customers dial in to join your meeting, they dial one of those numbers, they type in their conferencing ID, that routes them to your tenant, and that allows Microsoft to have really great coverage and not pay for 90 numbers for each Office 365 user. However, there is an option to add dedicated numbers. Depending on your seat count and your business requirements, you have a limit of how many you can set. What a dedicated number gives you is a number only for your tenant and a number where you can choose to set the individual language that people hear when they dial in, and also a potential for the concurrency on that number to scale beyond the shared numbers. So shared numbers have a set concurrency. It's not published, but theoretically lots and lots of people are using those numbers. If you're a particularly big org, a particularly heavy conferencing user, you might want to have some dedicated numbers for your hotspots so you can get into the concurrency of calls in the hundreds. Typically, shared is going to be fine. That's a fairly exceptional case. The more likely scenario is you want to set the language to be French, for example, or Spanish, or you have a particular requirement to grab a number for a city and it's not on the default number list. Hi. No, once you've got the service, you get dedicated numbers. There is a threshold of how many you can have. I'm not sure of the exact maths of it, but it's relative to your number of licenses and your use. If it doesn't meet your requirements, you can talk to Microsoft support about why you have this particular use case or that particular use case. So toll-free, so let's answer that question. So the question was, how do you set up a toll-free number? So what's important to understand for PSTN conferencing from Microsoft is you don't bring your own number from your traditional carrier to the conferencing service, so you don't route calls from your premise gateway to your conferencing provider. You buy the numbers from Microsoft. And if we want to add a number, you see there's nothing to add here. It's actually under voice. So we're going to go to the voice tab on the left, and you'll see here now these are numbers I've purchased for my tenant. Under phone numbers, I'm going to go to add a new service number. I have user numbers and service numbers. Service numbers are anything going to an Office 365 service. So at the moment, that's conferencing, but as and when the attendant numbers come in and other services from Office 365, these are the numbers that tie to services. If you have conferencing, you'll have access to that voice tab for the ability to manage your numbers. It's just that the number management is all in one place on the portal, basically. Good question. So let's say I want to add a toll-free number. I'm going to go US. I'm going to go toll-free. That sets city to toll-free. And I want to see what numbers are available. So at the moment, talking about how many numbers I can assign, I've got account can now retrieve three numbers. So I've got access to add three more toll-free numbers. And I think I've got two or three in play at the moment. I've clicked add there. What's happened on the back end? Microsoft have gone to their database of US toll-free numbers, said here's one that's available at the moment. That's available to me. I'm going to click acquire. And what's happening now in the Microsoft Office 365 database, that's saying, okay, that number's going to Tom's tenant, that's now dedicated to Tom. So the number you can have. So there are toll-frees for other countries as well. It's not every country, and it tends to revolve around the local carriers and what the regulations are. So there's not 100% free phone coverage, and the costs vary. But a number of countries have free phone coverage. So the question is, if you port your own numbers, so you had a carrier and you port your numbers across to Office 365, what happens on the back end is you move them into as a Microsoft number, and can you assign them to conferences? I believe you can. I haven't done it in the flesh yet. Those are your numbers to access at that point. Someone's giving me a thumbs up. Someone's done it. Good. Thank you. That's why I like these rooms. So at the moment, I've just picked up that new number. It's toll-free United States, and it's unassigned. So it's in my tenant. I have it, but it's not doing anything. I'm going to click assign. And there's only one service at the moment I can assign it to because only conferencing is available. So I click save. Save successfully. So now that toll-free number is available to my conferencing service. If I jump back to dial-in numbers, we'll see it towards the top of the number set. So yeah, so now I have three US toll-free numbers. And to the gentleman's question over there, that could be different countries, just choosing different countries. My users, let's take Bob as an example. I want to edit him. And let's give him that new number. And there we go. So now Bob's set up with that number. So his default invites will have his default toll number and that toll-free number. Question there. Vanity numbers, interesting question. So when you acquire numbers, you can put more than one at once, but it will just generate random numbers. There's no way at the moment to say to Microsoft you want a particular vanity number. If you have a business requirement, it's worth logging it with support, so if there's anything to do, but by default, no. This gentleman, then this gentleman, thank you. Yes, you have to be set up for consumption billing because potentially you're going to be invoking charges. Question there, thank you.
I was just wondering, this seems to be good for setting up like, you know, a company with 100, 200 employees, but what happens if you get like 10,000, 15,000 employees? Do you use this interface or do you use PowerShell?
You'd use PowerShell. So you can set this with PowerShell as well, and that's how you scale this admin. In fact, even if you're doing low user counts, if you can get into the habit of using PowerShell, it's just going to be quicker and more robust.
Okay, and then the other question is, can you also mention about paying these bills with credit cards? You know, big companies, you know, have different means. How is that done?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm going to have to defer that to Microsoft. I believe you can set up some kind of prepay e-agreement, like EA type agreement, but it's prepaid and then burnt down. It's not invoiced after the fact. Question there? So that's a slightly different question. So the question was, how does my conference room get a phone number? So what we're showing here is users having numbers in their invite for the ability to join. If you want a physical conference phone to have a number that people can ring, that's Microsoft PSTN calling, and that's what gives things a phone number. Jamie Stark's doing a session on that, and that's a good question for that session. Thank you. That is a great question. I don't work for Microsoft. I'm going to dodge that question massively. Question was, would it be brought to on-prem users? It's definitely not on-prem at the moment. It's only Office 365. One more question there. The minimum permissions to admin it? To be honest, I don't know offhand what the breakdown of permissions are to do that. But the TechNet articles have a breakdown of each of the roles and the abilities, so it'd be worth having a look. One more, thank you. Yeah, great question. So the question was about Cloud Connector Edition. So just to set the scene, Cloud Connector Edition is an ability to have Skype for Business online and bring carrier services from your traditional carrier into the online service. So you can give your users phone numbers and they bill with your traditional carrier and traditional connectivity. You can't bridge those carrier numbers to Office 365 for conferencing. It's only for the users. So even if you have Cloud Connector Edition or you have server hybrid and you're doing bring your own PSTN type model, for the conferencing, you still have to go Microsoft PSTN conferencing or ACP. Thank you. Good.
Will this change the performance of your call? What happens to this previous recording meeting?
So all the phone numbers are valid, and it will be on the Find a Phone Number link. So his previous meetings, unless I took that meeting number out of my tenant, will still work. If I did take that meeting number out of my tenant, that number would no longer be valid. Yep, still work fine. The old number will still work. The conference ID will still work. One more there, thank you. Yep, so on that same screen, the question was how do you get a local number? So let's say you have a city in particular that you want that's not on the default shared number list. Where I went to voice and phone numbers and new shared service number, I picked United States and toll-free, but I could easily pick, let's say, California wasn't on the list, and I wanted a 415. So I could pick that, assign that to my tenant, and then assign it to conferencing. Thank you. So that's the demo of how to set users up, PowerShell and Admin Console. In terms of reporting, this is a demo tenant, so I haven't got anything interesting to show on reporting. So I've grabbed a screenshot from another tenant that I'll just show you to show you what the reporting looks like. So there's a bunch of reports in Office 365 by default. This first one is back in the admin center. So in the admin center, you find lots of general reports on usage, utilization. Really, really good if you're looking at user adoption, who's using the service, how much it's getting used. One of those reports is a Skype for Business conference activity report. And on that, you can see across the top of this chart, it has a number of tabs for instant messaging, audio, video, third-party ACP, and dial-in, dial-out for Microsoft. I've ticked the dial-in, dial-out for Microsoft, and that's showing the usage. So this is not billing. This is just an idea of how many concurrent conferences are being created that are using the Microsoft dial-in, dial-out service. When I want to look at billing and my costs, I'm into the Skype for Business Admin Center, and there you can see I have a PSDN usage report. This PSDN usage report is both for PSDN calling, i.e. users making and receiving phone numbers with Microsoft, and for PSDN conferencing. I've blurred out the users there, but you can see a few different scenarios that are coming up on that bill. So the first one is a conference in call. It's domestic. So there was no charge associated with it. You can see the zeros in the charge sheet. However, a bit further down, the next conference, I used a 0800 in the UK, a free phone dial-in number. That does incur a permanent charge. So you can see the call, the one for conference in, about the middle of the table, 8:13, and that was $1.18 of permanent conference charging. So in that scenario, my customer dialed in for free. Happy days, they don't have to worry about the phone bill. You as the organization have picked up the cost of that call. And you can pull this stuff out into Excel and slice and dice it and pull it into your own billing platform if you want as well. There's a question there? Cool. Was it the billing question? I hope it was. One more question, thank you. Yeah. So at the moment, the billing, the question was how can I pull out and connect the billing? At the moment, the only way to pull this stuff out is the export to Excel. At that point, you have the data and the user ID, so you could map it, but you'd need a script or a system to import it and slice and dice it the way you wanted. You can export by PowerShell, yeah. Cool. So last piece, customizing the meeting invite. So the gentleman that I'll buy a drink for later set me up quite nicely on this one. By default in the service, you can set up a few customizations on the invite. You can choose your individual toll number and your toll-free number. You can set a logo. You can set a help URL, a legal disclaimer, and some custom text. So straight out of the box in the service, you can do some customization. You can at least put your logo in there and a bit of text. However, at the moment, that's the limit of what you can customize in Skype Business Online. So Modality Systems, third party, who I work for, just wanted to show this because it seemed relevant. We have an Outlook plugin, client side, that can skin, customize server and Skype Business Online meeting invites. So what we're doing behind the scenes is we're getting all the variables the service sends down to you, your conference ID, your dial-in numbers, and we're formatting them with an RFT template any way you want. And at that point, we can add things to the template that aren't necessarily in the default invite. So to the question there, if you had more than one number you wanted in the invite, or you wanted, you know, 600 or 800 numbers, whatever reason, in the invite, you can add them to the template and have them set up. And that can be pushed out, you know, it's an MSI, so client side, GPO, registry key control. You can have multiple templates, so lots of flexibility. So that's a good question. So this is only Outlook client side. So at the moment, it won't be able to skin a mobile client. So the thing they've just added to Outlook mobile app, where you can create a conference in Outlook mobile, that won't skin it. It's only for the Outlook meeting invites. That's the majority of use cases at the moment we're finding. Yeah, no, it can be dynamic. It just pulls the details down from the service, which is why it's client side and why it works with online. If you're interested in that, our stand is 1748. I'll be around there this afternoon. There'll be other people around, or modalitysystems.com. Cool. And that brings us to the end of the session. We've got about 8 minutes if there's any questions, but we've had a few good questions throughout. Thank you. Thank you.